is true. Can Cochrane Toyota really do overnight service?
Yes, they can.
But can they beat Calgary dealers on selection and price on pre-owned?
Yes, they can. Let Cochrane Toyota show you what yes looks like. Check out CochraneToyota.com.
Once again, we have a glorious range of opinion on this issue. Let me read a few comments out so you can see how torn people are. I wonder how many police out there right now confuse a threat to their safety with an opposition to their authority. I say confused to give the officers the benefit of the doubt. Is it possible that they are misreading a situation and then causing, in some cases, it to escalate? Ed says, this guy's no expert. Once you're past the threat, he is correct. Okay. Another person saying, this guy's awesome. Exactly the attitude police and corrections officers need to have. My police officer husband has the same attitude. And then Lauren, who I totally disagree with you, I may just have to say that right up front. He says, there is a new concept, police respecting you and not escalating the situation, then shooting you. It'll never happen. When we let women quotas in the police force, we had to modify the training so any chance of violence, I guess, it would be met with use of force, even if you imagine it now, gives you permission to draw your gun. Once your gun is drawn, well, you know. Wow, do I ever see it the opposite way? So what Lauren is saying is that because more women have entered the police force, that the only way to level the playing field when you're going up against a bad guy is to pull your gun and shoot them. And so that's why it's the women being entered into the police force that has caused an escalation. I don't know. I don't think it was any women who were involved in the various ACERT investigations into excessive use of force in the last couple of years. I think it's the opposite. I think that you, in some cases, have a pretty macho, testosterone-filled profession that doesn't like these softer skills, doesn't value these softer skills, and it manifests in treating, in some cases, not all, mind you, some cases treating the public in a way that's disrespectful and causes escalation, in some ways involves treating your colleagues disrespectful. So that's why where I come from on this. That's why I think these two things are connected. And my next guest has been involved in developing a new association, the National Women in Law Enforcement Association. It represents a growing group of women. And I'm sorry this has to be gender-based, because I know that there are guys in the workforce who are in the police force as well, who experience the same kind of bullying and sort of macho pushing around that the women do as well, and they dislike it also. So it's not really a gender-based issue, but I think it's more pronounced maybe with the women. There's a growing group of women officers alleging discrimination and harassment on the job who believe there's little recourse. Now, I want to just read for you from this Toronto Star story a couple of the issues that they face. Now, you guys out there may say, oh, come on, she's got to get over it. That's just minor. I look at it totally differently. I don't think that there should be any hazing of a fellow police officer. I think your hazing is when you have to go out and deal with a dirtbag, and then you come back and it's your fellow officers who provide you some support and comfort. I don't think that it should be your fellow officers who are creating the absolutely horrible environment for you to work in. So you have to understand, I may have a different perspective on this than some of you do, because I don't think that's the job of fellow officers, is to make somebody feel like they can't do the job or they're inadequate in some way or harassing them. So listen to a couple cases. So this is a case of in Waterloo, because they have launched into a lawsuit to try to address this issue. Constable Angelina Rivers. So here's her situation. She alleges male officers began spreading rumors that she was having an affair with a colleague. In response, she alleges her immediate supervisor sent her sexually explicit texts, including requests for her to send naked pictures. When she complained, Rivers claims she was reassigned to an undesirable position. She's currently on leave from the force. So think about that. Guys think it's a joke, so they say, oh yeah, so-and-so is sleeping with a colleague. So your boss says, hoo-hoo-hoo, she's sleeping with him, let me get in the game. Hey, honey, send me some sexually explicit pictures of you. And then she complains and is, okay, there you go. You're going to work the night shift alone in the worst area of town or whatever it would happen to be. Is that a reasonable way for our women in uniform to be treated? Honestly, you're going to tell me that's a reasonable way for them to be treated. Another example closer to home, you've probably heard this one, Constable Kim Perdonik. She's also been involved in establishing this support group. She got a reputation for being a bee itch. after speaking out against what she saw was gender-based discrimination from a supervisor. So it spread around the police force that I can't be trusted. Basically, a whole lot of prison mentality that you're a rat. That had a whole bunch of consequences for me as a police officer, including not being able to find a partner when she was working in a high-crime area because she wasn't seen as trustworthy. And now she's on leave from the force. Like, this sounds like a wholly dysfunctional environment to operate in. I sure wouldn't want to work in an environment like that. I've never had to work in an environment like that. And I don't think that these women and the men who are also facing the same kind of targeting should have to work in this environment either. I think it needs to be resolved. I am joined now by Jen Magnus, Calgary Police Service member, who resigned with quite a bit of media fanfare back in May, to talk a little bit about what this association is aiming to do. And she joins me now to talk about it. Jen, thanks so much for being with me. Are we there? Let me try that one more time. Jen, thanks for being with me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so things have progressed a little bit, because it sounds like this is not just an isolated problem in the Calgary Police Service. And I didn't think that it was, and I'm sure you didn't think that it was. But tell us about some of the connections that you're making across the country.
Well, we initially got involved with Angelina Rivers when the Waterloo police lawsuit came out, and she reached out to us to ask if we'd be part of this National Women in Law Enforcement Association, because she felt change needed to happen, and we agreed with her on that. I mean, you've heard Marlene and me speak on your show multiple times about the necessary changes that need to happen, and so we started this group, and we're hopeful that it will bring the change that's necessary.
What is happening in Waterloo? Because I remember, I don't know if, I think I've spoke with either you or somebody else about the issue of whether or not you could take a class action forward. I thought it was just because the nature of the way the police union is established, that one union member is not allowed to sue another, that lawsuits weren't in the cards here. What is the situation in Waterloo about them bringing forward a lawsuit?
Well, I can't get into the details, but they're challenging that decision, and the courts have agreed to listen to their complaint, and it's going to happen, I think it's next June. So it's still a long process in order for this to happen, but they have put forward with the lawsuit, and a judge agrees that they deserve to be heard.
And so do you think that if the judge hears the arguments, is that, I guess the outcome would be, yeah, you can allow this to then go forward as a class action? Is that what the group is trying to achieve, or what this particular group in the Waterloo department is trying to achieve?
That's what the Waterloo police are trying to achieve, yes. And if that does in fact happen, it could open up lawsuits across Canada in municipal and provincial police organizations, where people, both men and women, want to sue the organization because of mistreatment.
Wow. So it could have a huge impact. What are you hearing across the country? How widespread do you think the problems you experienced and Constable Rivers experienced, how common do you think it is?
I think it's very common. When I resigned, I received many emails and messages from police officers, both men and women across Canada, saying that they were suffering the same bullying, sexual harassment, and harassment. And I can tell you that I just actually recently completed my doctorate in business, and part of my dissertation research was I wanted to examine the culture of police organizations and the experiences female police officers had. And two examples I can give you that were told to me were, one female police officer suffered horrendous bullying and harassment so bad that she actually wanted to take her own life. And the second one, a female police officer said that she was sexually assaulted by a police member. And when she told her teammates, they told her to keep her mouth shut because her career would be ruined if she complained about it. So these issues are systemic across Canada, and these individuals need to be held accountable who are committing these crimes.
I still don't understand why. Like, I can't. I've always worked in very supportive work environments with men and women. I can't imagine why you have such a pervasive culture where you have bullies that continue to get away with it and be sheltered and shielded. Is there any other profession where you can think that this is common? I suppose maybe the Hollywood film industry is probably another one that suffers from the same type of problems. But I'm trying to get at the heart of why would this be occurring?
Well, I know I read a recent article that CSIS is having issues with that. And also I've spoken to my girlfriends who are in the oil and gas industry, and they have been treated horrifically, both sexual harassment and harassment. I think, and with what my research has said, is that it comes from male-dominated organizations where that perpetual behavior is allowed to happen with no punishment whatsoever. And that, I know we've spoken about in previous shows, comes back to the need to lobby change at the municipal, provincial, and federal levels, because the Police Act fails to explain how anybody can be punished. So even our Police Commission and the Calgary Police Executive have said the Police Act lacks in offering proper legislative changes to charging people.
There's got to be another dynamic at play here. I interviewed somebody yesterday about a book that he's written on entrepreneurs called Mean Men. It talks about different men who different male types who get into positions in power in organizations and just have very dysfunctional personalities. Obviously, it's a small subset, and I think it's probably a small subset here. But I wonder if part of it is that the behavior gets forgiven because the thing that makes them mean to their colleagues makes them effective as a police officer. And so it's, well, he's doing such a good job over here that let's just not rock the boat because we can deal with that other stuff, but he's just such a good officer that we really shouldn't address it. Is that a dynamic that's happening?
It's possible that that's a dynamic. And I think it's also possible that people are fearful of speaking out against the wrongdoers for fear that they will then become the victims. And I think that too many people allow this to happen because, exactly like you said, they think that's part of the culture, that's the way that they act. And people in supervisory roles are failing to hold them accountable on any level. And I can tell you, though, there's plenty of police officers who are great stand-up people, but just like the Hollywood industry, so many keep quiet. And when they see these issues happening, they fail to stand up for the victims.
Okay, so you stood up and the chief said, yes, we're going to deal with it, but you didn't see a whole lot of progress. So where are things at now locally? Let's bring it close to home in the Calgary Police Service. Are we seeing a lot of lip service that, yeah, we're going to tackle this, but because it's so deep-seated in how the organization operates that you're still skeptical?
Well, I can tell you right now with our grievance, zero progress has been made. And on the police commission meeting on Tuesday, the chief even openly said that he feels that change isn't happening fast enough. And the question I would have for him is, how are you going to fix that? Because it's been a year since the 2013 audit was released by Marlene and me, and nothing, very little, I shouldn't say nothing, but very little has changed since then.
Well, you know what I would say, when you look at what's happened with Harvey Weinstein, it's the name and shame. It's finally somebody had the courage to stand up, point a finger, name him, and other people came forward and said, yeah, that's the guy. And then the men in his orbit said, yeah, I knew he was doing that, and I feel embarrassed that I didn't say anything. But if you're going to continue to have the cone of silence and not actually identify the people who are the problems, I don't know that you're ever going to be able to get to a resolution.
And I completely agree with you there. There still continues to be that fear. And I've said that once I spoke out, people said, I don't want to be like you, Jen, because of the retaliation that I suffered as a result of it. And I can see that. I'm no longer a police officer now because I spoke out.
Well, I guess that's just it. If this doesn't get resolved, what are the long-term ramifications? One, obviously, being that good people are just going to say, I'm out of here. I'm going to choose another profession. But what is the outcome that the public might end up experiencing if this is not addressed internally?
Well, I think we're kind of seeing it now. The public is starting to lose trust in the police. And that's really sad because, like I said, 99% of police officers are hardworking, dedicated individuals who abide by the law and do what's right. But it's that 1% that aren't held accountable. Now the public, that's who the public focuses on. And I think long term, that's going to really hurt the Calgary Police because they used to be looked at as a primo police organization. And now police organizations across Canada are looking at CPS like the RCMP, and that's not good.
Are you trying to find a way to connect more people who are experiencing what you experienced and what some of the colleagues across the country experienced? Is there a website that you're using to be able to gather stories? How are people getting connected under this umbrella group, the National Women in Law Enforcement Association?
Yes, and we're asking for people who have are victims or who just want to support or just be there. And we do have a website. It's going to be up in the next couple weeks. It's www.nwlea.com. And then you can also get a hold of us via email. The national director is Angie Rivers, and her email is nationaldirector@nwlea.com. And then Kim and I are the directors in Alberta, and we are albertadirector@nwlea.com.
Okay, fantastic. Well, we'll keep an eye on how this lawsuit unfolds, and I'll look forward to talking with you again to get an update. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much, Danielle.
You got it. That was Jem Magnus, former Calgary Police Service member. So NWLEA is the acronym for the organization, National Women in Law Enforcement Association. So that's what she was saying, www.nwlea.com. They will launch their website in the next number of weeks, and then she can be reached at albertadirector@nwlea.com. So there you have it. Sadly, you blow the whistle and nothing happens. So I think that this is what I always feared, is that we were going to see going down the same path that the RCMP did, where you start with the women's lawsuit and then you go to the guy's lawsuit and then tens of millions of dollars get paid out. And the question is, are they going to solve it? I mean, that's the real problem. If they had solved the issues and taken them seriously and that there was some forward progress, would it be escalating? I don't think so.
Danielle Smith, weekdays starting at 9:30 a.m. on News Talk 770 Calgary.